in Belfast?
Pretty close to Dover Street, yes. There. Do you know Belfast at all?
A little bit.
Do you know Dover Street?
I think I remember Dover Street.
Well, there's Cumberland Street. And there the top of the St. Luke's Church and the school. Well, I went to the school there. Well, right across from the school, the first house, that's where I was born.
Ah.
Morpeth Street. That's where I was born, at Morpeth Street. Yeah. So I served my time for the pawnbroker. For Alec Tucker, do you remember the name at all? Tucker? No, they had three offices in Belfast there. Yeah.
Was that a family business?
Hmm?
Was that a family business?
Well, no, Alec Tucker there. His brother had a pawn office on the Old Lodge Road. You know the Old Lodge Road?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I worked on Agnes Street and Falls Road and Governor Road. Yeah, working on the pawn broker.
How old were you when you started working?
14. Just exactly. Right on the day I quit school, 14, I started working. Yeah. Oh, I used to know lots of stories, but my mind is just—it's not clear at all. Yeah. But this is a story there. But a nice man's wife's come into the store one day there, and they were attacked by brigands. You know, stole all the money. Pat thought. Pat sat down the side of the road, started to cry, "I've lost my donkey, I've lost my cart there, and I've lost my money." So Bridget, she piped up, she says, "Pat, I haven't lost your money." He says, "What did you do with it?" She says, "I swallowed it." Oh my God, he started to laugh. And he says, "I wish your mother was here at the time that would have saved the donkey and cart." Yeah. Okay. So, I used to know scores, but I'm dizzy now. Yeah, you just. Yeah. I've forgotten an awful lot there, you see.
How long did you work for the pawnbrokers?
Pawnbroking?
Yeah. How long did you work there?
5 years.
5 years?
Yeah. I didn't like it.
No.
No, I didn't want to go pawnbroking. Yeah. Well, my father says, "Well, you've got to take pawnbroking." So I took pawnbroking. But I wanted to play soccer, and wanted to play soccer on a Saturday afternoon. So I pawnbroke and I couldn't play soccer. I told my mother, I said, if I can't play soccer on the Saturday, I'm going to go to Canada. She said, "Where are you going to get the money?" I said, "I'm going to save up. When I start to work, I'm going to save up. And when I've got the money, I'm going to Canada."
What made you decide on Canada?
Well, my sister had a boyfriend. He came to Canada. So that's where he came, to Victoria. So that put Victoria in my mind. So I was bent on Victoria. So I never said anything more. So when I served my time, I says, "Mother, do you remember what I told you? I was going to Canada after I served my time." "Oh," she says, "you're fooling." "No, I'm not fooling." I says, "I booked my passage. I'm going to Canada." And that's how I came to Canada, under those circumstances. So when here I am there,
that was
1910.
There was 1910, and you were 19? You were 19?
I would be 19, yes, that's right, yeah. I come out.
Was it further than you thought it would be? Was it a further journey than you thought it would be?
Oh, I had an idea. This friend of mine there, he lived in Victoria, and they told us that we have the map, you know, and we look at the all end of Canada. We knew it would be a long journey.
Did you leave out of Dublin?
Belfast.
Belfast. You left out of Belfast.
Belfast, yes.
There were boats going
regularly. My father, he was a horseshoer there. And he done a lot of horseshoeing, and I liked horses. I was very fond of horses. So when I came to Victoria, I couldn't get a job at the moment, but the city took me on as a super, and he says, I was sweeping the streets, you know. And an old gentleman come up to me, he says, Sonny, you shouldn't be doing that job. I says, can you do anything for me? I can't. He says, I said, you go down to the fire department and tell them I sent you, he mentioned his name, and see what they can do for you, and see the chief. So I went down to see the chief there and told this gentleman and told him to go and have an interview with you. He says, do you know anything about horses? Well, I was brought up amongst them. They got, he says, start Monday morning. Yeah. So I was at Levanto O'Seas, I was in the driving the horses in the fire department. I drove every horse. There was 20 horses in the whole department. I drove every one of them. So that was my experience with it.
What kind of horses were they?
Well, just ordinary horses. You know, they weren't special horses.
They weren't work horses?
No, they weren't.
Well,
they were here, for here, you know. And this horse I had met there. If anybody loved anybody, he loved me and I loved him. He was so affectionate there. Every time I'd go and I was talking to him, he'd put his head on my shoulder there, you know. And he'd even take a candy out of my mouth, as gentle as could be there, you know. And I'd take him out for exercise and I'd walk. No lines at all, nothing there. He'd walk with me like a dog. But this little horse there, he was very, very fond of me. I remember when I left the department, about a month or two after, I was talking to a chap outside of the store one day, and there was a horse with a was carrying a load of lumber there, you know, in the wagon there. They come over and they put his head on my shoulder. And I said, Mike, they got there. And he put up his piece of horse mine there. This chap says, he says, I've never seen anything like they got in all my life as an animal, especially a horse, yeah. But there was a horse there, he put his nose in my pocket to see if I had an opera or anything else for him. And he was a beautiful, beautiful riding horse there, very solid, lovely horse to ride. So I got a long time in the fire department. I seen the fire department on the joint up. I went and joined us up there. I've been to France where a good man sold it. I've been to the Vosges Mountains, the Jura Mountains, and all that there, on certain trips.
Were your friends joining up too?
Oh yes, good. Most of my friends were joining up there. But when I got to know in the army, and I drove a truck there, I was sent right to the Jura Mountains with the truck, and I delivered trucks to the French Army all along from Jura Mountains to the Vosges Mountains. So that was my experience in the army.
You got to see a lot.
I've been across the camp in the front some times. You've seen quite a lot.
Was it what you expected when you joined up?
No. Until I knew a friend of mine had a stroke, and I knew I was interested in the army, but I wanted to get into the army service corps during the stroke. So I said to him one day, "Why don't you give me a couple of lessons, a few lessons?" He said, "Sure, I'll give you a couple of lessons." Well, I went down to the Workburn Barracks, out of the barracks there, after I had this training with this truck. So I don't know, passed the first class driving test in the truck there. So, but they weren't long to ship me over to France there when they knew I was a truck driver. So I was delivering the last part there, where I was delivering trucks. There to the Jura Mountains, after the French army, they were short of trucks there, and I was delivering to the French army. So I sat to the French army for quite a while there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You must have seen a lot.
Oh, I've seen a lot, yes. Then my experience there in the fire department, I put in a good many years in the fire department.
When you came back?
When I came back, and before I went away, I was in four years in the fire department there. Oh, you see some awful stuff in the fire department there.
Did it prepare you at all for what you saw
when you were overseas? Oh, yes, absolutely, yes. With my experience with horses in the fire department when I joined up first, I was driving horses in the department. But then when they found out I was driving a truck, they were just delivering their first new trucks. So they gave me the job of delivering these trucks to the French Army in the Jura Mountains. Yeah.
Where did you learn to drive?
Then I drove from Belfast. Yeah, in Belfast. It's a kind of a fairy tale story there. Everything just seemed to go my way just through trucks. Yes. But now I have one son there. He is an optometrist at Colwood there. He just left him a few minutes before you came. Yeah.
So you married when you came back from the war?
When I come back from the war, yes.
I married then. A Victoria woman.
Yeah. Well, she's a Victoria woman there, but she, they're good musicians. You remember Bert Zeller, pianist, played for dances here. Yeah. He was a woman of Zeller's there. And then she died a few years after I married her. So I've been single ever since.
Yeah.
I never bothered at all now. Yeah. So.
You had one son?
One son, yes. And he just had left there a few minutes before you came in. Yes, he is an officer in Corwood. But this is the only home I've got now, what you see. This is all the home I've got there. All my homes are gone now. An incident during the war there, and this is my family home. We both were chums together, and we came to Canada to both together, and we joined up together. So when they joined up, we got separated. I was with the transport and he was with the infantry. So we're separated absolutely there. So we shook hands there. We didn't know, but just shook hands there. Yeah. So one day I was on leave in London, and I generally would visit my parents in Ireland. I'd stay for a few days, and then I'd spend my last few hours in London. So I was sitting there in Piccadilly Circus, and I didn't know what to do with myself there. And I was sitting looking around, and all of a sudden I seen that women, the wealthy people used to take a few soldiers out for dinner, you know. So I happened to look up, and there was about 14 or 15 men, all, you know, in twos there, walking along. And and I looked at them, and then I turned my head away and I looked back again. And the last man was this Nathaniel Holden. Well, we embraced on Trafalgar Square. Eh? So this lady came down to me and she says, "Do you know you want to know?" "Oh," I said, "we've been chumps since boys. Bring him along." And this wealthy lady there, she took us for dinner there, and she put us up a wonderful meal there.
At her home?
Yeah, at her home, yeah. So that's how I met Nathaniel. But I looked around and saw Nathaniel walking alone. He was the last one walking with this lady, you know. And I shouted, "Matt," and he recognized, "Huey," he shouted, "where are you?" Yeah. So this lady stopped there and he introduced me to her, and she said, "Bring me along with the party." And
how was it seeing your family again?
Mm-hmm.
How was it seeing your family again when you were on leave?
Oh, it was nice. I'd always seen my mother there. And my boy loved his mother, I think. I get very emotional. I was terribly devoted to my mother. Yeah. And there was a lot of trouble. And she was very fond of me. And I was four boys in the family. But I was the best, yeah. Yes. And I love the guest of a story. Yeah. Now there's this name, Nathaniel Holden. He was a grocer boy, but his father and his parents had a farm down on the side of Bangor, about 2 miles from Bangor. Yeah. We used to go down there and stay with them regularly. He's had lots of fun going up to Bangor. Yeah. But I got mixed up in the story I was going to tell you, and I just forget what it was. Yeah. This old bean up here is not Gordon to story as it should be. Yeah. Now, what were you wanting to know? My age.
How old are you?
Hmm? What did you think?
I think you already told me once.
Yeah. 93. Yeah. And all the doctors tell me I'm a good 93. Yeah. Yeah. A good 93.
You were telling me yesterday about a group of men you found when you were driving trucks in France, and the one who'd lost his arm. Do you remember that?
Oh, that was... I was driving truck, and it was held up somewhere, And down the road there was a row of trees. Do you know these were big, high trees there? Yeah. And there were several men there, and I could judge two of them was fighting together, you see. And when I was, had I pass them, and I was thought, well, it wouldn't be wise to pass them there, that I would be a human being. But I always carried a rifle and a revolver in the truck when I was out there. But anyhow, there were niggers, niggers there. And there's passing there, and there's one man, there's an arm is hanging off there. They've been fighting there, see. So, the only thing I could do was to put my truck there and pick this man up there, and the blood was running down my elbow. They weren't, yes, yeah. But they were very, very good to me, these fellas. They never attacked me or anything else. In fact, they were very, very pleased that I give them help. But there was a little incident. That's a little incident that happened there. Like that. I've got all kinds of them, but I can't think of them all there. My experience there with it. There's a funny thing in France there, that we go through villages, and probably the village pub there, you'd be filling your radiator, the truck radiator up there, and you'd see an old French woman come out with a tray and a glass of wine on it. Seems like this, you know, I've seen a lot of France. I've been out across France seven times. Across France seven times. And I was the only one who could drive the truck. And they used to give me some long runs there. But I liked them there for the simple reason. Always the comfort of French village there. There's the old pump where they get their water, you see. And there was ladies coming out and pumping away. Yeah. So I had to come there and there'd be a trough of water there. So I got in the old bucket there, fill it up with water. And the first thing you know over there, they would be coming out with a little wine or something there, or a little bit. Some of them are very good cooks, you know, a little teaser. Yeah. But they have the old song, it's a grand, glorious war. It's a beautiful war, you know. Right? But it's just according to how you're located, where you're located. I've been to the Jura Mountains, the Moses Mountains, and all over them.
Was it what you expected when you signed up?
No, I expected to be right up at the front when I joined up. So I told them what I'm going to see action about you, the very boy we weren't there for what you're doing. So I was content with that. Somebody has to do it, and you might as well do it. Yeah. So I got to know the French people there. And one little girl, she was 12 years old, yeah. And I fell in love with that little girl. She was the nicest little girl I've ever seen. She had a beautiful, rosy complexion, there. Could speak good English, you know. She was called Mr. Canada, yeah, Mr. Canada. Her and I got along well together. Get her on the truck there and take her for going the rounds there, delivering groceries and one thing and one. And all these chaps used to tease me about the young lady. He says, "Then you can sure pick them." She was with us, yeah. She'd about 10, 12 or 14. But very, very nice, nicely mannered, well mannered. Yeah. Well, Maria, right at the moment, I haven't got anything special to tell you. I've got to sit down and get this over. Sometimes it doesn't work.
Okay, we'll call it a day today.
No. Yeah, he was a lovely horse there. And at night at 6 o'clock, we went for supper at 5 o'clock when I'd come back here. Since he hears my voice, he'd Quinny, you've heard of the horse, Quinny, so, and I'd go up and he'd have his nose up against my cheek there, and I would talk to him, and his head come down there, and I'd pop it, just like a baby, I'm not so good into it. It was very, very interesting. I loved that old horse, and he was a good horse. He was a fast horse, he was a good horse. Well, his legs, he had good, well, fine legs there for running, yeah. But that horse there, he followed me just like a dog, yeah. Followed me around to the street there without a leash or anything else on there, yeah. I took him around the block once with nothing at all on, no harness at all, and he stayed right with me, yeah. He'd walk right behind me, yeah, alongside me. Yeah. But you can get a certain affection with a horse. Yeah. Of course, I always had a candy on me there, and I put a candy in my teeth there, and he'd take it out so gentle there. I should have had a photograph taken with that.
Do you have
that's
any
mostly at night there. It's pretty hard to take a photograph at night.
Do you have any photographs of him?
I don't know where all my photographs now, or what my son has captured his girls. But he was the third part, I didn't think he would let go of them.
You told me that Mike liked to keep his box stall dry at night.
Oh, yes, and Mike, he was a horse, he likes his bed. He likes his bed nice. I kept a book of it there, and they would hear Sampa Street or else kick the door, you know. He'd come down, and honest to goodness, I could see a gleam in his eye. Oh, yeah. But he was a lovely horse. He was good to me. He'd done anything I told him there. And that's the thing out there. I could say, easy now, easy man, easy boy. He'd put it right up there. Even down a hill there, the sea pill there, he would ease right up there, holding the wagon back there. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think the young firemen today are missing out on something, not having horses?
Well, with horses there's something alive around there. And you get to like the horses and they get to like you. They're a surprising on a Saturday night there. There used to be quite a bunch of people there, 100 people there, stand outside the fire hall door there to see the horses come up. At 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock, and it's 8 o'clock at night, would have what they call tap in. Yeah. The bell would go just the same there. The horses would come out, go get on the harness there. The outside horse, the inside horse was slow in getting there. The outside horse would wait to leave this, or the horse would come along, and then they'd push him into the middle there. Yeah. Then they're always sniffing around you, see what you've got to eat or anything else. If you've got an apple in your pocket, you'll never smell it. They know. They're a wonderful sense of smell. But I like the horses, and
I never owned a terrace in the fire department and drive into fire department and never had a use of it. Never once had a use of it. I had a shake it, you know. They could see it there, for there was no blind on their eyes there. They could see what, anything to the right and anything to the left there. But all the day I would do is shake the whip there. And the other folders necessary. Yeah.
Were they as fast as the trucks?
For short distance, they were. Oh, absolutely. John would be, yes. We had an exhibition one day there with the horses or mechanized trucks was the fastest there. And the horses, it was from on Broad Street, you know, Broad Street, they were the fire hall used to be. There, it was there to Yates Street, yeah, which would get to Yates Street the quickest. The horses beat the horses there, over there. You think they knew there. But there's one thing about them there, you could talk to them there, and they would, well, I think they knew everything, every word you said there. Where I talked to them there, and they're easy now, and I say, easy now, boy, easy, yeah. They pulled right up there, easy, yeah. And coming to make a turn, we're going to make a turn here, easy, easy on this. They pulled right up there, slow there, to go around the corner. Yeah. And they had big long tongues there with it. It's like here.